Hear the word of God as it's written in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 4, reading verses 2b to 10. This can be found on page 5 of the Pew Bibles. The first two children of Adam and Eve, when they are cast out of the Garden of Eden, are called Cain and Abel, who both present an offering to God. Genesis chapter 4, reading from verse 2b. When Cain and Abel grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, Abel, and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's keeper?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Here ends the first reading. We turn to the book of the prophet Obadiah, chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 4 and 10 to 18. This can be found on page 699 of the Pew Bibles. We hear the prophecy from Obadiah about Edom, a neighboring country to Israel, who did nothing to help them when they were in times of trouble. Obadiah 1, reading from verse 1. This is the vision that the sovereign Lord revealed to Obadiah concerning the land of Edom. "We have heard a message from the Lord that an ambassador was sent to the nations to say, 'Get ready, everyone. Let's assemble our armies and attack Edom.' The Lord says to Edom, 'I will cut you down to size among the nations. You will be greatly despised. You have been deceived by your own pride because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach us way up here?' you ask boastfully. But even if you soar as high as eagles and build your nest among the stars, I will bring you crashing down, says the Lord. Because of the violence you did to your close relatives in Israel, you will be filled with shame and destroyed forever. When they were invaded, you stood aloof, refusing to help them. Foreign invaders carried off their wealth and cast lots to divide up Jerusalem, but you acted like one of Israel's enemies. You should not have gloated when they exiled your relatives to distant lands. You should not have rejoiced when the people of Judah suffered such misfortune. You should not have spoken arrogantly in that terrible time of trouble. You should not have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have gloated over their destruction when they're suffering such calamity." I've just said that. "You should not have seized their wealth when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads, killing those who tried to escape. You should not have captured the survivors and handed them over in their terrible time of trouble. The day is near when I, the Lord, will judge all godless nations. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. Just as you swallowed up my people on my holy mountain, so you and the surrounding nations will swallow up the punishment I pour out on you. Yes, all you nations will drink and stagger and disappear from history. But Jerusalem will become a refuge for those who escape. It will be a holy place, and the people of Israel will come back to reclaim their inheritance. The people of Israel will be a raging fire, and Edom a field of dry stubble. The descendants of Joseph will be a flame roaring across the field, devouring everything. There will be no survivors in Edom. I, the Lord, have spoken. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Am I my brother's keeper? Those were the very words spoken by Cain about his brother Abel, just shortly after he had killed him. Am I my brother's keeper? There was very little evidence of brotherly love between the firstborn sons of Adam and Eve, the first brothers in the world. And brothers have been fighting each other from that day to this. Brothers like Jacob and Esau, where Jacob stole Esau's inheritance by deceiving their father Isaac. This morning we continue our look at the books of the minor prophets, and today we examine the book, the shortest book in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Obadiah. It's a story about the descendants of both Jacob and Esau. It's a story about family disharmony, pride, and indifference. In Eli Wiesel's autobiographical novel, The Town Beyond the Wall, Eli tells the story of Michael, a young Jew who survived the Holocaust. After the end of the Second World War, Michael travelled at great personal risk behind the Iron Curtain to his Hungarian hometown. Though his memory burned with images of the soldiers and police who had brutalized him and his loved ones, Michael returned not for revenge, but to satisfy his curiosity. He said, This was the thing I wanted to understand ever since the war. Nothing else. How a human being can remain indifferent. In a strange way, Michael understood the brutality of the executioners and the prison guards. What he did not understand was the man Wiesel called a spectator, who lived across from the synagogue, the man who peered through his window day after day as thousands of Jews were herded into the death trains. His face was gazing out, reflecting no pity, no pleasure, no shock, not even anger or interest. Impassive, cold, impersonal. The face was indifferent to the horrific spectacle in front of him. There is a bond, Michael thought, between the brutal executioner and the victim. Even though the bond is negative, they belong to the same universe. But this is not true of the spectator. The spectator is entirely beyond. He sees without being seen. He is there, but unnoticed. Wiesel concluded, to be indifferent, for whatever reason, is to deny not only the validity of existence, but also its beauty. Betray, and you are a man.
torture your neighbour. You're still a man. Evil is human. Weakness is human. Indifference is not. Indifference is a deadly sin. Such were the Edomites found in the book of the prophet Obadiah. The Edomites were descendants of Esau and lived in a region south of Palestine. Their neighbors, the people of Israel, were descended from Jacob. Jacob and Esau may have begun the fight 800 years before the events of the book of Obadiah, but it was a feud that had never gone away. In fact, the scene played out in the talk with the young at heart earlier was a scene from the Bible. A true story from Numbers chapter 20, where the refugees were the Israelites fleeing from slavery and persecution in Egypt. And the man who blocked their path to the promised land and would not let them cross his country was the king of Edom. This was a feud between two people groups that lasted for centuries. Bitterness and hatred raged. The smouldering animosity between the Israelites and the Edomites bellowed into a blaze when Edom aided Jerusalem's enemy, the great and powerful Babylon, by standing aside as a spectator. Obadiah described it with these words. When they were invaded, you stood aloof, refusing to help them. Foreign invaders carried off their wealth and cast lots to divide up Jerusalem, but you acted like one of Israel's enemies. Edom stood as spectator, doing nothing while Babylon attacked Israel. Edom betrayed her neighboring nation, saying she would be an ally, but choosing to do nothing. Then to add insult to injury, the Edomites joined in the plundering of Jerusalem after the fighting was over, killing those Israelites who tried to escape and handing over the survivors to the Babylonians. The destruction of the Edomites prophesied by Obadiah is a warning to those who would do harm to God's people. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain asked of God. And the Lord answered, and the answer to everyone is yes. Should the Edomites have cared for their neighbors? The answer is yes. Are we our brother's or sister's keeper? Again, the answer is yes. A man once asked at a bus stop, or said at a bus stop, the biggest problem in our country today is ignorance and apathy. The other man replied, I don't know what that means, and I don't care. Indifferent spectators fail to take notice of their surroundings. They fail to come to the aid of people in need. They fail to get involved and fail to stand up for what is right. Spectators say such pious things as, mind your own business, live and let live, don't get involved. A friend of mine once told me of a conversation he had with a police officer. He noticed a can of mace on the officer's utility belt and asked, how does it work? The policeman removed the can from the belt and said, well, you take this cap off and you spray it in somebody's face. My friend naively asked, what does it do? Does it knock them out? Oh no, said the policeman. They're still conscious, but inert. Then the policeman added, by way of emphasis. You do understand conscious, but inert. My friend smiled and said, "Officer, I've been a local church minister for 20 years. I understand conscious but inert better than you might imagine." The one thing Jesus never commanded his followers to be was conscious but inert. Obadiah's vision is a judgment on a conscious but inert people. And it's an awakening call for the Church of Jesus Christ here in this place, in this nation, and throughout the world. Obadiah calls us to stop being a spectator, to assume responsibility. All too often, kind-hearted people and decent people have watched from the sidelines when they should have gotten involved. Have we become lax and lethargic? Have we become anemic and apathetic? We cannot win the battles to right wrongs, save lost souls, and change the course of society from the back seat or the sideline. No war is won by only sitting and watching. Action is needed. Involvement is required. And that call comes to me and it comes to you. As the Apostle Paul wrote, faith without works is dead. And that divinely inspired word means that we cannot be spectators in the name of Jesus Christ. We cannot stand at the window and watch our brothers and sisters being herded onto trains bound for death camps. And we cannot look the other way when our neighbour is being attacked. And let me tell you why. By asking you this question: who is your brother? Who is your sister? And the answer, my friends, in the sight of God, is everybody. For we are all made in the image of God. When we see someone hurting, and we need to do as a good Samaritan did in the parable of Jesus. When we see someone hurt another person, and if we're in a position to do something about it, we would be wrong to not get involved. If we see someone about to destroy their lives through wrongful choices and addictive habits, it would be a sin for us not to warn them of the consequences. If we see injustice and immorality prevailing in society and we ignore it, it would be foreign to Jesus' instruction to be salt and light in the world. We must act. We must stand for what is right. Martin Luther, who saw such corruption in the practices of the Church of Rome, led the charge to change the course of Christianity. The reformer stood at the door of the Wittenberg Chapel, nailing his 95 theses, exposing the heresy and hypocrisy of the church that said that the people had to pay hard cash for their sins to be forgiven. At the Diet of Worms on April 18, 1521, Martin Luther stated, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." In different ways, we sometimes face the choice to say and do the same thing. Here I stand. I can do no other. So let me ask you, where is God calling you to stand? What noble cause is he pushing you to take up? Doing nothing is not an option. Sitting on the fence or the sidelines is not an option. You must act. The Edomites did not act. They betrayed their neighbors, and God made them pay. They experience pain, suffering, hardship, and famine. Just as Babylon had destroyed Israel, other nations would destroy Edom. When Jesus gave us the golden rule in Matthew 7, verse 12, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. He added that this is the essence of all that is taught in the law and by the prophets. Jesus' words paint a positive response in personal relationships with others. But in Obadiah 15, we get the negative side. As you have done, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. And the Apostle Paul reinforced this in Galatians 6, verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will harvest what you plant. In other words, you will reap what you sow. But this is good news for us, because it means that we do not need to worry about an eye for an eye when someone does us wrong. We can leave justice to God, a just God in heaven who will pay sinners back in kind. What they did or they do to others will ultimately be done to them. As Pharaoh drowned the Jewish babies, God drowned the Egyptian army. The men who lied about Daniel in order to have him thrown into the lion's den were themselves thrown to the lions. So when you see horrible headlines in the news and you are tempted to think that evil people and evil prevails, know that God always has the final word, the ultimate victory. The last chapter in every story is always his. Judgment and victory are in God's hands. May we never forget that. May we live as champions and winners regardless of the present score, knowing the final victory belongs to God, and with him, we always win. And we win because we are not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ, and the payment for our own sins that we so richly deserve has been taken from us and placed upon his shoulders. But Jesus did not sacrifice himself for us to stand as bystanders. Jesus calls us to action. You may be asking yourself, what difference can I make? I'm only one person. What can I do to change the world? If so, let me finish with a true story of one Christian woman. It was on the morning of December 1955. A seamstress and devoted Christian, a member of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, who decided to move off the sidelines and make a stand against injustice. A bus driver told her to vacate her seat and move to the back of the bus. This Christian was an African American, and a white person wanted her seat. In one of the most courageous choices of the 20th century, she did not move. And she started a revolution. The next Monday night, 10,000 people gathered at her church to pray and to ask God, what do we do next? And because of that choice, a difficult revolution began. Many were beaten, many were imprisoned, and some even died. But it changed the conscience of a nation, all because a mild-mannered, soft-spoken, Christ-following seamstress dared to act. If we stand by and watch the moral disintegration of this society God has called us to love and to serve, then we are no better than the Edomites. We must rise up in the name of Jesus and seize the day for him. We can no longer remain on the sidelines indifferent. We must act, and act now. For his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, it can be so scary to act. Lord, we see injustice all around us, but we're not brave. We see refugees on the television being refused entry. And we just take it as news and we go on with our day. We see hungry people at the side of the street and we judge them. So we walk past or we look the other way. We see this world being ruined by our continual waste of resources and our addiction to single-use plastic and all those kind of things that are threatening our planet. And if we do nothing, then we're just as guilty. So, Lord, give us eyes to see and give us hearts to trust in you so that we can stand, so that we can be brave, so that we can be your witnesses in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.